going to be continuing on
having our prayers answered. We're going to read a couple of passages, scriptures here for you this morning. The first one being Luke chapter 11, verse 1, which is our text. You'll find the Lord, when his disciples came to him, and one of the disciples asked him, "Teach us to pray," as John also taught his disciples. You'll find this in Luke chapter 11 in your Bible. You'll also find it in Matthew chapter 6. And I just wanted to give that to you. Matthew chapter 6, some of the words are a little bit different because of the translation, but it's all good. So if you want to read it in both places, Gospel according to Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse 5, and Luke chapter 11, beginning verse 1. I'm going to read that for you right now. "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And I said last Sunday in the introduction to this series on having our prayers answered, or getting our prayers answered, is that I think probably one of the most amazing things in any Christian's life should be that he or she, we, as Christians, as believers, we can talk to the Lord, we can talk to God, and our Heavenly Father hears us. And not only will He hear us, but He'll answer our prayers. And to me, that's just absolutely awesome. As a child of God, we can have the most wonderful, powerful being in all of creation to be our friend. And we can't hide anything from Him. He knows all there is to know about us anyway. So we don't need to be ashamed. If we are ashamed, the only thing we need to be ashamed of is that we don't come to Him and talk to Him, because that's what that's the reason why He sent His Son, is so that we might be His children, and we might be able to talk to our Heavenly Father and speak to Him, and that He can speak to us. Because as you've already heard me say, prayer is a two-way street. It's just not that we do all the talking or He does all the talking. It's communications, for the lack of a better term. I can communicate with God, and that God can communicate to me. As a matter of fact, in John chapter 10, I'll read you a couple of verses there. Jesus says to him, to the Lord, "The potter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice." Amen? How many sheep do we have here this morning? "The sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name." He knows your name. Amen? He knows your name. "He wants to lead you in and out. The problem is we need to follow. You can't lead a sheep if it doesn't follow him." Verse 4, "And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." So it's not that we're going places in our lives, hopefully it's not that we're going places in our lives where we're not following Jesus. Every place we need to go in our lives, as He directs our lives, He says He goes before us. Amen? So I can trust Him that all the things that are going on in my life are happening to me is because He's leading me, and I'm trying my best to follow Him. So when I have problems, troubles, dirt, circumstances, or situations that I don't like, I can come and talk to Him and say, "Father, am I in your will or out of your will?" Because, and you've heard me say this before, if I'm if I'm out of His will and things are going on in my life that I don't understand and I don't like, I say this prayer, Father, if I'm in Your will and this is a part of Your will that I'm going through and it's one of those trying circumstances or situations that I'm going through in my life, then I pray, Lord, whatever it is You're trying to show me, help me to learn it quickly so I can get out of this mess. Amen? And He doesn't mind. In fact, I've told you before, in one place real seriously, I was talking to Him, and I heard Him laugh. He just laughed. It was like He was sitting in the car with me. Jesus was sitting in the, I was in the driver's seat, and He was in the passenger seat. And I was thinking, because we were driving down the highway, and I was on the way on SPID going to the Nueces County Jail to visit one of my church members. And I was talking to him about what all he wanted me to say and what needed to be done in that situation. And he was talking to me, not in an audible voice, but in my conscience, in my spirit. And so I was thinking, like, well, while I've got Him in a good mood, I'll ask Him about this. Or while He's talking to me, I'm talking to Him, I'll ask Him about this car situation, and He told me it'll be taken care of by tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, and He left, you know. So, but next morning at 10 o'clock, it was taken care of. And that's how God wants to communicate with all of His children. For they know His voice, He says in John chapter 10, verse 5, and a stranger will they not follow, but they will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. And then skipping into John 10, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Amen? So, God wants to teach us how to pray so we can talk to Him, and when we're asking Him how to pray in order to have our prayers answered. When the disciples came to the Lord and asked Jesus how to pray, they weren't just asking Him about how to say words. And the Lord's Prayer is not there just for us to repeat over and over again. He said, after this manner pray you. In other words, that's just sort of a track to run on. But one of the first things that He tells us in that is, whenever we come to the Lord in prayer to honor Him, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Holy be Your name. Glory be to Your name. I'm glad. I appreciate the fact that I'm able to talk to You and that You're able to hear my voice. And that's part of His teaching in prayer. So we need to read it, and we need to know and understand it, but that's a pattern. He says, after this example, I want you to pray. Amen? And that He said that because He wants to answer our prayers. And if there's any time that we ever needed to know how to pray, right now is the time, I think. We need to be able to ask. We need to be able to seek. We need to be able to knock so that we can see our prayers answered and we will be filled with His joy, as He tells us. And that's what He wants for us. And that's what I want for me. And that's what God wants. I want that for you too. How many of you have prayed and had God answer some prayers? Did it give you some joy? Amen. So we've talked about now, and I don't remember where I left off exactly, but I think it was on about prayer of persistence. I'm not sure. I think we talked about the prayer of expectation. We spoke about the prayer of agreement. That, you know, there's no sense in coming to the Lord. And just to repeat this in a brief statement, prayer of expectation. There's no sense coming to the Lord and asking something if you don't expect Him to answer it. Right? Why would you just be praying to say words? if you're going to ask Him, you want to ask in expectation, and that is, of course, the prayer of faith or the prayer of hope. I want you to answer this prayer, and you can ask Him if this, and we're going to get to this too, if it's not your will, then show me how to pray for this situation. So then the second thing we talk about is the prayer of agreement, because He says, where two of you shall agree on earth, and I don't mind telling you that, my wife and I used to pray together, and that's two, amen? But I like praying where two or more gather together. I like when on a Sunday morning we come together and we are on prayer meeting night or whenever we can get together. It doesn't make any difference if it's two or three. If we can agree together in prayer on praying God's will, then He says He will answer that prayer. Amen? But we have to come together in agreement. So get you a prayer partner. Amen? Someone that can pray with you. And He also says to go in your closet and shut your door and pray. So we need to have the prayer of agreement. Then thirdly, we need to have the prayer of faith. That is the prayer of belief. If you have not because you ask not, but then you ask and you receive not because you ask amiss, and the amiss in this particular thing is in Matthew 21:22, all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. So we talked about that. We have to believe that what we're asking for, that God will do it. And that's, of course, the prayer of expectation also, but it's a prayer of faith. It's a prayer of believing, of trusting. That then there's the prayer of knowing. The Bible says, you know not what you ask in Mark 10:37. And because James and John had come and said, we want to sit to you on your right hand or on your left hand. And He said, you don't know what you're asking. So it's we also need to know what the prayer is, what we need to pray for, because He tells us in 1 John chapter 6, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us, and we know that He hears us, and whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. 1 John chapter 5, verse 15, we know that we have the petitions that we ask or the desire of Him because we're praying according to His will. Amen? And I had said this, even though I'm praying for some people that are lost on my prayer list, and I have quite a few names on there that, as far as I know, they don't know God. They're without hope and without God. They don't care to know about God. They don't care to read the Bible. They don't care to pray. They don't come to church. They don't care about Christians. They just want to live their own life in a selfish, self-centered manner, and they don't know. When I pray for those that they might not come to know the Lord so that they can have a relationship with Him, I can pray the prayer of faith for them, and I can believe and I can expect that God's going to change their life, because God tells me in His Word, He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So I'm praying His will. Amen? So if we have prayer, we have loved ones, and we pray for them, you can pray, you know, it's God's will that He's not any should perish, but that they should come to repentance. We also, in the prayer of knowing, we need to understand that sometimes, and we get some hindrances to prayer. So, and I want to put this in right here under not knowing, because He tells us that if we pray, and we have and He tells us this, and He's teaching it in His disciples, and He's teaching them how to pray. He says, "For if in the Lord's Prayer, for if you forgive not men their trespasses against you, neither will your heavenly Father give your trespasses against Him." So that's one of the first things that I pray for when I come into His presence. First of all, I glorify His name, I honor Him, I praise Him, and I thank Him that He even hears me. And the second thing that I do is I confess my sins. If I have something, somebody's offended me, and I've told a story before, I'm not going to tell it, but as a pastor of this church years ago, there was a man that took some money away from me. I gave him some money and honesty to get into a business, and he took my money, and it was a lot of money, and I had to borrow it from different places to pay it back. When I found out I wasn't going to get into this business because he wouldn't send me the merchandise and he'd stole my money, I wanted to kill him. And as I shared that story with you, I would have killed him. So God told me one night, and after about three nights, get out of the bed, get on your knees, and forgive that man. And I told the Lord, I'm going to get out of my bed, get on my knees, and I'm going to forgive that man. But Lord, I want you to know right now, I that's not coming from my heart. I don't really mean it. Because I still felt that hate and that bitterness and that. And so he helped me. When I said, Lord, I forgive that man, the love of God flowed through me. And then I could say, by the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus, I forgive him. So I forgave that man with all of my heart. So we know that if we have unforgiveness and we don't forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors, then our prayers, the prayer of, we know that, and if we don't do that, well, then our prayers are not subject to be answered. Amen. Also, there's a prayer of persistence. In Luke chapter 11, verse 1, he said, when they said, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples, in chapter 11, verse 9, he said unto them, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And that, in the original languages, he goes on and he talks in verse 10 about asking, and he that asks receives, and he that seeketh findeth, and the person that knocks, it'll be open. And he says, and he talks about giving if you have children, you give your son comes and our daughter comes and asks you a bread, they're hungry, you don't give them a stone, or if they ask a fish, and you don't give them a snake. And that's in verse 13. It says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Spirit, or the Holy Spirit, to them that ask him? That's in Luke chapter 11 and verse 12 and 13. So we know then that what we ask for in that respect, that means persistent prayer. If you don't get it the first time you ask, if you don't get it the second time you ask, the third time you ask, then be persistent about it. Keep on knocking. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking for an answer. That means you have faith. That means you're persistent. That means you're trusting him. That means you believe he's supposed to do, and he will do what he says he will do. And after a while, you can ask, Lord, am I not praying right about this situation, or this? Why has this prayer? He doesn't mind us asking this question. Sometimes he will tell us, more time. Wait. One of the main things that we have in our spiritual warfare and in our battle in the flesh is that we have to learn to be patient. And I've had a lot of people tell me, my wife included, you're the most impatient person I've ever met in my whole life. And she wasn't saying that to be critical. She's saying that to help me, because I was impatient about a lot of things. And one of the first things that he teaches us in his word, he says, let patience have her perfect work. So sometimes he says, wait, hang on. The trying of your patience, the Bible tells us, being much more precious than gold, though it be tried by fire. And there is a trying of our patience, and it is a trying of our faith. And that's one of the things that exercises our faith, is because we don't get the answer right away, well, then we keep on exercising our faith, and that's like exercising a muscle, and the more we exercise the muscle, the stronger it gets. Amen? Are y'all with me this morning? I'm trying to tell you, God's trying to tell us all, every one of us that are His children, that He is our Heavenly Father, that He wants to answer our prayers, and then He's trying to tell us that when the prayers don't get answered for some reason, He's telling us here through His Word and through this message is that this is why sometimes your prayers aren't answered. Correct these things, and your prayers will be answered because He wants to give you an answer. He said, if your son asks a stone, ask a bread, you don't give him a stone. If he asks for a fish, you don't give him a serpent. And if you know you want to take care of your children, how much more does our Heavenly Father want to take care of us and give us the things that we ask for? And it doesn't mean, and I just want to put this in here while I'm here. I don't know where I'll put it in somewhere. I want to do it right now because you brought it to my mind, is we want to know that what we ask for and that what we're expecting, that there is, when we don't get an answer, there's some reason for it, and we want to know what it is because we know that our Heavenly Father wants, desires to answer our prayers. How much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them? Then we have the prayer for His works. In John chapter 14, verse 12, He says to His disciples, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Verse 13, and whatsoever you shall, John 14, verse 13, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Verse 14, St. John 14, verse 14. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Amen? So as I said last Sunday, I don't go get on my knees and say, God, I want to $1 million home. I want a swimming pool in the back. I want an airplane. I want a Lincoln Continental and a Cadillac. And I want $1 million in my checking account. And I don't pray that. And when He's saying, ask whatever you want or whatever you will, He's asking us to pray according to His character, according to His being, not selfishly, but also, it doesn't mean that He doesn't intend for us to ask for something that we need. He will supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory. And if we have a need and it's not being supplied, and we're talking about and we're asking Him about it, then we may be asking amiss, or there may be something wrong somewhere else that we're not doing right. And the reason He's not supplying that need as quick as we think we should, maybe He's trying to teach us patience, but it means that we need to find out, hey, is this, I think this is a need, and I think I need to have an answer, and I'm expecting an answer. And so, are you with me? I was reading in a devotional sometime this week, about Jacob was going back home with his wives and his children, and he's about to meet his brother Esau, which he had cheated out of his birthright. And if you read the Bible, you know that story. And he was very fearful in going back there because he knew that his brother would probably hate him and be filled with anger towards him and would want to kill him. And so as he was on his way, he had gone however many miles he'd gone. He had a runner out in front of him like they did in those days to make sure to avoid any enemies or to avoid any problems or troubles that they had come back and tell him, say, Jacob, you know, well, this is happening, that's happening. We might need to deviate our direction just a little bit. You'll go this way or go that way or whatever. And the runner came back and said, Esau's coming to meet you, and he has 400 armed men with him. Wow. Now, my Bible tells me Joseph got, Jacob got a bunch of cattle, camels, donkeys, sheep, and he put them out in front of him so whenever his brother came forward, he'd meet all these men, and these men, his Jacob's servants, would tell him, and when Esau asked, "What are these for?" "These are from your servant Jacob. He's given these to you." He was trying to appease him. But the point is, the day before he was going to meet him, he knew he was going to beat him. The Bible says that Jacob went on his knees that night and started praying, and he prayed all night long. And what was he praying about? What he was afraid of the most. And he was praying for God to deliver him from Esau. Not only did he make these preparations, all kinds of preparations to kind of appease Esau, but he decided, hey, if God doesn't take care of my brother, none of these things are going to take care of it. And he wrestled all night long with an angel, and he was praying, and the Bible says the angel the next morning, Jacob wouldn't let go. Jacob was praying. He was asking. He was seeking. He was knocking. He was saying, "I need help, and I need an answer." And finally, the angel, when it's getting in the morning time and dawn, and the angel saw that Jacob was prevailing in his prayer and in his struggle and in his battle, he said, "Let me go." And Jacob said, "I'm not going to let you go until you bless me." And so the angel, which was God's representative, said, "What is your name?" And he said, "My name is Jacob." He said, "Well, your name is no longer going to be Israel. You're going to be blessed." Amen? Your name no longer Jacob. It's going to be Israel, which means a blessing from God. And then he knew that everything was going to be fine with him and Esau, and so he could proceed, his brother Esau, so he could proceed without further to do. So our works, the things that we do, the things that I've done in my life after I've become a Christian is not, I haven't been perfect. I've done a lot of wrong things. But all the good things that I've done are not my works. It was God's working in me. And so he tells us, that's what he means in Philippians chapter 3, work out the last part of that verse 12, I think it is, says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. But he doesn't say do it by yourself, because the next verse says, for it's God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So I can go in the doing of works because he's working in me both to do in his will and his good pleasure. And a lot of people that have seen the things that God has done through my ministry hasn't given me the glory. They've given God the glory because they know it wouldn't work if it wasn't for God. Amen? The next thing I want to say to us is we need a prayer of daily fellowship. John 15, verse 7, St. John's Gospel is on change. St. John chapter 15, verse says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. So here's a condition. It's a condition of fellowship. You need to be in fellowship with me. And I need to be in fellowship with you. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done to you. He's saying, if you abide in me and I abide in you, what you ask for, you may not know for sure whether it's my will or your will or whatever, but if we're abiding in fellowship with one another, you can ask whatever you will and it will be done for you. Because we're in fellowship together and we know that what we're asking for is something that God in His Word has spoken to us that we need, that we can expect Him to provide. Hello? Anybody here? We're trying to tell you how to get your prayers answered. And I mean some powerful prayers. I mean get your prayers answered. So it's the prayer of fellowship. Verse 8, he says, "Herein is my Father glorified," of John 15, verse 8, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that you shall be my disciples." We skip down to verse 16. "You have not chosen me, I've chosen you, and I've ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another." He's saying, I want you to love one another, because love is from God, and the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit that's given unto us. So if we're walking in the Spirit and we're walking in fellowship with the Lord, amen, we're walking in love towards one another. And it doesn't mean we're always asking for things for ourselves, but we're asking for things maybe for others as well. Amen. The next thing is the prayer of worship and rejoicing. And we've touched on this a little bit, but I want to go to John chapter 16, verse 22. "And you know," St. John 16, "and you now, therefore, have sorrow, but I will see you again." The disciples heard he was going away, and they were full of sorrow. But he said, I'm going to see you again. Amen. On the day of Pentecost, he did see him again. Amen. In a different manner, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. "And in that day you shall ask me anything." He says, "I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man can take from you." Amen? No man can rob us of the joy of our salvation. "And in that day you shall ask me nothing." Whatever you ask, "verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you." Up to this point in your lives, you haven't asked me anything. You're asking me nothing in my name. Ask. He's saying, God is saying to us, saying to his children, ask. Get your heart right. Get in fellowship. If there's anything that needs to be forgiven, confess it, lay it out before God, because he says in 1 John chapter 1, chapter 1, verse 9, "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." I've heard of different preachers, and I've seen some that have been praying. Kenneth Hagin, I heard him teach this years and years ago. I was praying, "God, forgive me. God, forgive me about this thing that he had done. It was a sin. It was bad." He was saying, "God, forgive me." And he said one day it was almost like an audible voice, because he was praying that prayer over and over repeatedly. He'd been praying it for a good while, and finally God said, "Stop! Stop! I've already heard that prayer. I've already forgiven you that prayer. Quit talking to me about it. I won't hear about it anymore." Amen? Sometimes when God forgives us, we need to forgive ourselves. Because one of the attacks, if we get into spiritual warfare, one of the biggest attacks that Satan brings up to us when we start praying, we start trying to live for God, and we see our prayers being effective, and we're trying to serve God, is he comes and brings up the past and tries to put in our memories and bring about condemnation and fear and fill us with doubt and worry and frustration over things that we've already done, and try to tell us, why do you think God would want to hear you and answer your prayers? That's spiritual warfare. And I have to answer that by saying he wants to hear my prayers, because he says he wants me to pray for him, wants to pray to him, and he wants to answer my prayers because he loves me and I'm one of his children. So get out away from me. James 4:7 says, "Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you." That's how you resist him. I never will. Oh my goodness. Boy, I had an old lady call me one time. I was pastoring a church, said, "Pastor, do you know what your children are doing?" I had two teenagers at that time, a son and a daughter. And they were wild as a March hare. They were almost as bad as I was when I was their age. Not quite. Are y'all with me? She said, "Your kids are running around with the wrong crowd." I said, "Ma'am, If you know any but kids that are running around with my kids, tell them to get away from them, because they're not running around with the wrong crowd. They are the wrong crowd. She slammed the phone down on me. I was just as serious as I could be. Amen? So don't let... There is therefore, Romans 8:1, there is therefore now. Everybody say now. When is now? Now. Now, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And he goes on in chapter 8 and he says, who's going to condemn you if you're in fellowship with God? And if you're a Christian, you belong to God. Is it God that sent his son for you? You think he's not going to forgive you? He spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Do you think it's Jesus that's not going to forgive you, who came and offered his body and death in a cruel, horrible death on the cross of Calvary and shed his blood? You think he's not going to forgive you? That's what he's saying there in Romans chapter 8. He wants to understand that. That doesn't mean that we can just go out and sin willfully and willy-nilly and do whatever we want to do, but it means we can get tripped up and we can stumble in sin, we can fall, because we haven't set a guard and we haven't watched and we hadn't put on the whole armor of God and we hadn't taken the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. Are you with me? Prayer of daily fellowship. Prayer of worship. Already talked on that. I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. All prayer should begin with worship. Our Father, he says, in the Lord's Prayer, which is an example of how to pray. The first thing is, he says, when you pray, pray, Our Father, which is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That means praise, glory, honor be to your name. When I come into the presence of God, I am going to be amazed and thankful that I can that he's even allowed me to come into his presence. Amen? I'm going to honor him. I'm going to glorify him. I'm going to praise him. So prayer of worship. Hallowed be your holy name. And then last, prayer for wisdom. Wisdom is, yes, God. Wisdom, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God. You know what it says? James chapter 1, verse 5. And let him ask God, and God shall give to him liberally. But let him ask in faith, not wavering, for he that wavereth, you don't want to waver when you. You don't want to be wishy-washy about it. And I don't know how many of us think we're just smarter than we can be. We're not going to be smart alecks, right? When we ask forgiveness, for wisdom, we're saying, God, I'm not a smart aleck. I'm not trying to be smart. I don't know near as much about what you need. I need some wisdom to know how to deal with my family, deal with my children, deal with my wife, deal with my business, deal with my finances. I need wisdom from God. I need your help in knowing what I need to do in this particular situation. He tells us to pray about everything. Amen? So there's not anything too big or too little, small for you to pray for. Amen? Pray. Ask in faith. Boy. Oh, my goodness. I have two or three more things I need to say here, and I'm running out of time. So I think we're going to take this up again next Sunday. Amen? I want to talk to you because prayer of knowing and doing His will is important, and I've just talked to you on, I haven't talked to you on that yet because there's some things there that we need to bring out. Prayer of knowing and doing His will, and then prayer of the Holy Spirit. How does the Holy Spirit help us pray? And he does. And we need to know that. And in fact, we really need to understand that, because there is some misunderstanding about how to pray. And I'm going to tell you, well, I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to shut up, because I'll be getting ahead of myself. We need to know how to pray in the Spirit and with the Spirit. Amen. We're going to talk about that. And that's something we need to know. And I want you to understand. So come be here next Sunday and we'll talk about that. No? What? Next Sunday, that's the Sunday before Christmas, right? Well, we may put that off to the next Sunday. I wanted to talk to you about Christmas too, but I don't know about Jesus' birth. So come back next Sunday. We're going to do whatever the Lord tells us to do. Amen? We may be doing this because this is tremendously important as far as I'm concerned. I don't know about you, but I need my prayers to be answered. And I am filled with joy when He answers my prayers. Amen? And He wants to answer our prayers. So let's get them answered. Let's pray and get them answered. And don't let the enemy defeat us in our prayer life. We need to pray and get answers. Let's everybody stand. Anyone who wants to come to the altar for prayer at this time, you feel free to come. We'll be glad to agree with you in prayer. Let's close in prayer. Brother Harold, Bowen, would you please dismiss us? Thank you.